Blog Talk Radio.
Today's program pays tribute to the countless men and women who served in the U.S. Armed Forces from the revolutionary past through Iraq and Afghanistan. First observed at the close of World War I on November 11, 1919, Veterans Day is the public recognition of honoring those who served in their country in times of peace and war. Joining us today is Vietnam-era veteran Hayward Fennell Sr. He's a multi-talented community leader and will talk to us about an upcoming exhibit for Veterans Education and Research Center in Worcester, Massachusetts, and also an upcoming fantastic documentary on the Tuskegee Airmen. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you have joined us today. I've been off the air for a couple of weeks for a number of very good reasons. The last program we had was a live one in New York City at the United Nations, and enjoyed that. If you didn't hear that program, you may want to go back and take a listen to it. It will give you some exciting news about the $7 billion program project that's taking place that the United Nations is sponsoring. You can find out more about that with my October 20th show. I was off the air October 27th because we had our fifth multicultural conference. It was delightful, a complete success. My goodness, the speakers, the excitement, the networking that took place, the content, the information about diversity, multicultural issues, and inclusion, it was just an amazing activity. You can go to my website. We're busy updating it at msconnect.com. I actually have a special offer right now for membership at a very low rate. You can, if you need information about that, it will also be posted on the website. So we just had a great time. And then last week I expected to do a show, but because of snowstorms in the mid on the East Coast that traveled from the New Jersey area up to Maine, knocked out power at my daughter and son-in-law's house, I had to be grandma last week. So that's why I was not on the air. But I'm excited now because I always want to pay tribute to the men and women in the military, those who are currently serving, those who have left service, those who have died doing service, taking care of and protecting our country. And as most of us know, tomorrow is Veterans Day. If you go to my website, tellcarole.com, you'll find on the Carol's blog section some historical information about Veterans Day, when it started, the information that maybe you've been wondering about, what's the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Veterans Day celebrates all military personnel, both currently serving and those who are not serving or who have already served and who have retired and have been discharged, dead or alive. And Memorial Day is a tribute to those fallen soldiers who have passed on in their term of service. So that's the difference between the May Memorial Day and the November Veterans Day. It's important to know that, and it's also important to pay tribute to those who have served in office. A little bit later in this program, we'll talk about one particular category of veterans. Some of them have already gone on. Some are still alive, and those are the Tuskegee Airmen. My dad was a Tuskegee Airman. But before we talk about them, let's talk with our Vietnam veteran-era community builder, writer, just an extraordinary person here in the greater Boston area, Hayward Fennell Sr. Hi, Hayward. Welcome.
Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, doing great.
Thank you so much for thinking about the veterans and the services that they served our country.
Oh, yeah, very important.
And your dad was a Tuskegee Airman. Wow.
Yeah, Yeah, he served between 1941 and 1946. He had just graduated from Virginia. It used to be called Virginia State College for Negroes, and now it's called Virginia State University. He graduated in 1941 and went immediately into the Army Air Corps and became a second lieutenant. And he was an airman. He served in Tuskegee at on Tuskegee's base. So,
oh, that's
wonderful. Oh, yeah. He was in his later years, he was active with the organization itself, and they were listed on his program. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to talk about you right now and just talk about what does it mean to be a veteran in this day and time. You know, we thought that when Veterans Day was established in 1919, it was following the war that was going to end all wars, and certainly that has not been the case in the almost 100 years of its founding. So as a veteran, tell us about your service and what it means to be a veteran today, Howard Hayward.
Well, you know, I'm really proud of having served my country in the role that I did and having had other relatives. My uncles were in the military, and my brother came into the military after I did. And he was in the ROTC, and he resigned as a major in the United States Army. Mm-hmm. And I was living in the South for a long time, and I saw going into the military as an opportunity, you know, to go to school, travel, and see the world. Of course, mm-hmm. it didn't happen that way once I got in and stayed in for the 6 years that I did. I found a lot of things that were contrary to my reasons for going in, and it affected me deeply, racism being the foundation for my displeasure with the military at that time. It was something that wasn't talked about. It was overlooked, and it just went on and on and on and on, not just for me, but for a lot of other veterans of color. You know, so
and that was,
I was able
that was
to get through that process, but there was a lot of pain, and you know, post stress, etc., that our lady was diagnosed to have. But it was an experience that could have been a lot better, but it was one that I learned a lot from.
And Hayward, that was we're talking. Give us the time period when you served during those 6 years, and where you were stationed, so that our listeners can get a sense of the location
I took my basic training. Right, I took my basic training in Fort Dix, New Jersey, and I went to information school at Fort Slocum, New York, in Westchester County to be a what it was called an information specialist, which I did a lot of writing in the military, and I also was a photographer, a photo technician. I learned those two things while in the military, and I still do them today. And I was stationed in Alaska for 18 months, and I was at stateside at Fort Meade, George Meade in Maryland, and Fort Dix, New Jersey, and also I went to Okinawa. And,
now, was this during the 1960s, late 60s,
this
early
70s?
This
was in the 70s? Late 60s, yeah.
Late 60s. This was during the Vietnam War.
During the war, you know, and General Westmoreland was the commander of the that fight, that war. And at that time, they were saying that there was no war. But every morning, I could look from my window in my barracks, and I could see the morgue, and I saw the body bags being loaded into the to the hearses that were being transferred to Kadena Air Force Base, and then they would fly them into Delaware.
Coming from Vietnam, from the
coming
Far East.
From Vietnam and Laos, too, you know, because we were there too as well. And at that time, they were, you know, they said that there was no war, but it got so explosive and so many people began to lose their lives, etc. And the people in the public began to, you know, complain about this war. There was no war until they eventually had to admit. Yes,
it definitely was a war. So you were, you were doing a very important job in the military. You weren't in Vietnam, where you certainly were over in that part of the world doing important work. Tell us about some of the things that you were doing during that time.
Well, you know, I was an information specialist, and my job, I was assigned to a cyber war battalion, you know, psychological warfare battalion, and we had a newsroom where we had the wire services coming in with various stories from all over the world, and certain stories were given to certain writers, and we would rewrite those stories with the slant, democracy slant, a free world of buzzwords like free world, communist dominated, and they would be given to translators who were from countries like Korea, China, Vietnamese, and Laotian, and we would translate that into their languages, and we had a radio station that at nights we would beam these stories into these countries to try to, I guess you would say, unsettle their governments.
And this, we're talking about North Korea, we're talking about Laos, we're talking about North Vietnam, and
China too.
And China, all communist countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, for our listeners, we're going to have some young people who are going to think Vietnam was all one country. No, it wasn't. North Vietnam was communist, and they were fighting. There was a civil war. They were fighting South Vietnam, which was free, and that was the main purpose and the main dynamic quality of the Vietnam War, a communist part of the country fighting for sovereign rights and fighting for control of the free South Vietnam. And unfortunately, by 1975, Vietnam fell, and it all became communist at that time.
Right, it all became. Under Ho Chi Minh, it did. Exactly right.
So fast forward, I mean, you were, I'd say you're probably at the door's edge of massive changes that were made in terms of diversity and anti-discrimination training that took place in the military in the early 70s as a result of the experiences and the pain that you had gone through.
They have come a long ways. The military has come a long ways. In terms of trying to address the discrimination and racism, institutional racism that was so prevalent in the military before the 1981 executive order written by President Harry S. Truman, which was an order to desegregate the military, and that came in effect, I think, around 1942, thereabout.
Right.
And they... You know, my brother is a good example, ROTC. He was a major, which is a field grade officer. I saw some generals, to my surprise. I saw women officers that looked like me that were colonels. It's been a big change in terms of advantage, you know. Mm-hmm. But we're still not getting, at that time, we still weren't getting promoted as fast. Mm-hmm. As quickly as some of the other people. And we had more time and great, but let me just tell you something.
Yes.
African Americans are very patriotic people.
Right.
We've gone through a whole lot of things as a direct result of our military service, which allowed us to come back into the community and be strong and leaders of purpose. I'm thinking now of Dr. Roger Harris over at the Renaissance Public Charter School.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
in Hyde Park.
Right.
I mean, I'm thinking of Ernest Washington, a businessman, Vietnam. But those are two combat veterans. I'm thinking of Ron Armstead and Karen Miller, the first African-American Boston firefighter. Kimberly Sutherland, you know, these are some of the people that I think about.
And we're talking about veterans who have come back and they are serving in various leadership capacities, certainly Roger Harris. Ernie Washington as well, leadership positions in the greater Boston area, and they're veterans. They served their country. So you're right. I mean, we have been, my goodness, Hayward, the first person to die in the American Revolution was a black person, Crispus Attucks.
Yes, Crispus Attucks, yeah.
So when you look at patriotism and the importance of it, and then when you come to service, military service, you can't leave out the African-American voice. You're absolutely
right. Well, you know, they tried to do that, though. You know, they didn't, you're saying that. The Memorial Day, I believe, or Veterans Day was the water in all wars. And we fought in that war, but they didn't want to give us the uniforms.
Well, in World War One, my grandfather fought in World War One. I see his picture,
right.
You know, and I've seen him for years
with
our family picture. A lot
of
people fought
in
World War One. And as a result of World War One, my other grandfather, who did not serve, he was a minister, but he ended up being on the draft board. So he was responsible along.
He was affiliated,
Yeah, in determining who was going to go to war. So
there's
no question when it comes to black people and people of color, we have definitely been there and served our time. Let me just fast forward.
I just want to say something.
Sure.
You know, we use the word war a lot, but let me just say something. The African-American men, maybe women as well, that volunteered for the military, they fought, but I think a lot of the white people thought that we couldn't fight.
Well, that's the case
fight.
With the Tuskegee Airmen, because with Tuskegee Airmen, there was the common belief that African Americans didn't have the intellect to fly airplanes. And so the Tuskegee Airmen, I mean, that whole era was a great big experiment that absolutely disproved the myth that black people couldn't fly.
I mean, I can think of no higher institution within the military to honor than the Tuskegee Airmen.
Right.
Because, again, these men exemplified leadership and came back from the sacrifices that they made and the trauma that they experienced while flying these missions that freed other people and became doctors, lawyers, you know, very prominent figures.
Business
and they didn't make a lot of noise about that.
Right. They were quiet, dignified men who overcame the degradation of bigotry to serve their country with honor and dignity. And I'm talking about my own dad. I'm talking about countless other men of that era who were taking care of these flying machines and doing combat missions beyond belief. It was just amazing.
While
we're talking about that, there is a film that is a documentary that's going to air on Monday. Tell us about that at UMass Boston.
Right, I was invited, and so is the public, about Dean Keith Motley to come out to UMass Boston Monday. I think it starts at 1:30 to see a film called Red Tails about the Tuskegee Airmen and their military contribution as airmen. And the film was produced by Frank Lucas, the guy that did Star Wars.
Right.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. is going to be there. He's a part of that. And
Cuba Gooding Jr., who's an Oscar winner. He won an Oscar for, I forget the name of the film.
Show Me the Money.
Show Me the Money. Yeah, that was his turn. That was about several years ago. Won that Oscar in 1996. But it's going to be a wonderful event. That's from 2:30 to 4:30, I believe.
Okay. Thanks for telling me that. So I'll know
University
what time to get there.
Boston, right? 2:30 to 4:30. And Chancellor Keith Motley, who's a dear friend of all of us. He also co-hosted our multicultural conference, will be there along with Academy Award winner Cuba Gooding. So you can see him up close and personal.
Right. And we're going to bring two of the pictures from our exhibit. That depict the African-American, Tuskegee Airmen. We have two pictures that was done by an artist at the Artists for Humanity, whose name is Stephen Hamilton, very talented young man. And we're going to put them on display. This will be our first public showing of those two pictures. The other ones we'll show later on.
That's wonderful. I just thought of Cuba Gooding's the movie was Jerry Maguire. That was the name of the
Jerry
movie.
Yeah, Jerry Maguire. But that thing was saying was Show Me the Money.
Show Me the Money. That's right.
Yes.
Now you also you also have an upcoming art exhibit that's an opening a Veterans Education and Research Center in Worcester. Tell us about that, Hayward.
Well, we're going to have the first public showing at the We Me Card American Legion Post on the 15th of November, which is this month, starting at 3 o'clock until 5 p.m. We have a private reception for the young people that are the artists that did this work. And then we will take it back to Worcester, where our new office is located, and we will begin to strategize how we will get these pitches into the school systems across the Commonwealth, mm-hmm. and at the same time create a mentoring program so that we can teach military history and segue into African-American history to help our children understand the importance of having a vested interest in community development.
Yeah, that's outstanding, just outstanding. I think it's
Thank
so
you.
Important because so many people, I know all of us want peace. We are certainly President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that a strong military presence is so important for the survival
yes.
of any country. It is just, it is critical. You have to have it. In biblical times, they talked about it, and certainly it is as important today as it has been for centuries before this one. Tell us about, you also, you're an author. You published the CUDA Experience Trilogy. Tell us about that and your other wonderful work, Hayward Fennell.
I'm presently drafting up a planning project to take our play, The Harlem Renaissance Revisited, with a gospel flavor
mm-hmm.
to New York, where I was last week talking to some folks, and I'm looking forward to working with the people at the Riverside Theater over there on 23rd Street and
right.
Riverside Drive. The Harlem Renaissance, as you know, was one of the most culturally significant times in American history, not just
yeah.
black history. It was a time of triumph over adversity. The direct descendants of the captured people, sometimes they are misquoted as slaves, who were found themselves in less than 60 years after the Emancipation Proclamation on the stages of the world, performing, writing, acting. I mean, you know, just brilliant people, people of majesty.
Right.
And we've been doing this for the last 15 years, working with youth and adults from our community, and we've mm-hmm. been very successful in telling this important story. And the way that the history is disseminated now in our public schools, it's not as strong and forceful as and rhetorical as it used to be when you and I were in school. And so we find it important that our children need to know their history, that it's not a mystery, that these are the things that we did, that
right.
Duke Ellington was real, that Zorro was real, that Langston was real, that Compton
mm-hmm.
Cullen was real. All of those great people during the times of oppression did not allow the social barriers to keep them from achieving and using their talents. So that's what our play is about. Believe in yourself, love yourselves, love your people, love your culture,
mm-hmm.
and that's what
we're doing. Is this the play that you brought to the stage about 4 years ago at Boston College?
Yes, but we've kind of stepped it up a little bit now.
Well, that was a great play. I enjoyed being out there. I was entertained.
Well,
I thought it was
coming,
so enjoyable.
You.
And you
thank
had a great
you.
Crowd there. So I see that you've taken that and you've perfected it now.
Yes, we've gotten a little more technical now. We just finished our last performance in August was at Wheelock College.
Great.
And before that, we did a chancellor's performance at UMass Boston. And
oh.
we've been at Clark University in Worcester. And now we are trying to get to the stage in New York so that we can fund our program and create a scholarship program for some of our young people that are pursuing a higher education.
That's awesome. That is just awesome.
Thank
you are
thank
an amazing individual.
Hayward
Fennell, he was also the Boston Herald Literacy Hero in 2005, and he was honored on November 4th, 2005, as one of the 100 distinguished black men sponsored by the Prince Hall Masons of Boston. I just can't say enough nice things about you. Before you take off, tell us how people can get in touch with you, Hayward.
Well, you can call me at 617-238-2460. That's my office number. Or you can call me on my cell, 617-966-9594. And, you know, I just want to, before we do go, Carol, I want to say to you and to your listening audience, what a great lady you are. And congratulations on being a grandparent. You know, I know you love your daughter. She looks so much like you. My regards to her. But I just want you to keep doing what you are doing, gathering people together and understanding the importance of diversity. And everybody, when given the opportunity, can contribute. And that's what
Thank
you're doing.
So
you are making a difference.
Oh,
I
God bless you.
That.
I really appreciate that. And I just appreciate you, Hayward, for all that you have done through the years. I mean, it's not easy in this city. You've got to fund your projects. You've got to keep your roof over your head. You've got to eat. But, you know, you're looking out for the young people, too, in terms of your military legacy, the legacy you want them to understand, and what you want to leave for the community. So just a tremendous example of a community builder, in not only in the greater Boston area, but certainly in New England, too. Hayward Fennell, thank you so much for being a guest on my program. I really appreciate you, and I look forward to interviewing you again when that play hits Broadway.
Okay. You got it.
Definitely. All right.
Thanks a lot, Carol. You have a great day, too.
All right.
Okay,
thank you. All right. Bye-bye. We've been talking to Hayward Fennell, just a great guy, again, a veteran, a very proud veteran. We wanted to salute a particular person. Last year we had the pleasure of playing a clip from Brigadier General Joe Carter, who is also well-respected here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And, again, I have to say, you know, I'm a progressive person. I believe in peace. I believe in dialogue. I certainly believe in the diplomatic work that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is doing and how she is averting a lot of warfare that could have happened with a different kind of leader in that position. But I also know that we live in a very dangerous world. We live in a very dangerous world. And any sovereign nation has to make sure that their military forces are up to snuff, well-equipped, well-prepared, well-trained, and ready for action if need be. That is just the world that we live in, and to not understand and recognize that is to be, I think, a little foolish about the importance of protection and military protection. And again, I urge you to go to my blog at tellcarole.com, TellCarole. Go to the blog, today's blog, and you can read the history not only of the Veterans Day and why it was started by President Woodrow Wilson, when we thought during that time in 1919 that World War I had just ended in 1918, that was going to be the war to end all wars, and that certainly has not been the case. But Veterans Day certainly signifies the important service that men and women around the United States have given to this country. Again, part of that group, I wanted to read just a little bit about the Tuskegee Airmen and how important they were. They served during World War II from 1940 to 1946. They were active. They were actually technically called the United States Air Corps, or the United States Army Air Forces, and ultimately they were part of the United States Air Force. Their nickname was Red Tails. That's why the documentary on Monday is called that. And they made many, many missions to parts of Europe during that awful time period when combat duty was there. Even though my father was stateside because of an ulcer that prevented him from actually doing combat duty over in Europe, in the theater of Europe, he certainly served his country well during the period of 1941 to 1946. My dad passed away 20 years ago first and went on to serve very valiantly with the State Department. He worked in Africa for 20 years, in Kenya, and then before that in Ghana, was in some pretty interesting positions. But he started off as a young college graduate, not with any money at all, and wanted to serve his country during that time period and did so very valiantly as a Tuskegee Airman. He 1946 and married my mother in December of 1946, even though they divorced ultimately, and 15 years later they remained friends and they're buried next to each other now. So that's another story in and of itself. But he was, we should be give him credit and give credit to all of the men who were Tuskegee Airmen. They were valiant, victorious, courageous soldiers, as are all of our veterans that we are paying tribute to today. Hats off to all of our veterans. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you next week. This is Carol Copeland Thomas signing off. Bye-bye.